I'd like you to get your Bibles this morning, if you will, open to the book of Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. If you were here for Brother John's devotional this morning, he showed us that the Lord is still truly in charge. The Spirit moves in sometimes mysterious ways, and he kind of wet our whistle for this passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 2. If you need a Bible, there's one on the side table. I encourage you to get one. We'll begin reading here in verse 1. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." And here they start to quote out of Micah chapter 5 and verse 6. It says, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." May we again pray. Our Father in heaven, as we again approach thy throne of grace this morning, Lord, we praise you for your word and what it continues to declare unto us about your Son, Jesus Christ. How that you sent him out of your great love, that he would come and he would be the propitiation for our sins. Through his redemptive work, Lord, that we would be offered the gift of salvation, and it is offered to everyone, but it is up to us to receive it. Lord, I pray that you will guide and direct our hearts this morning as your Spirit moves among us. This morning, if there's one in our midst who's never trusted in your Son, Jesus, as Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, there may be other decisions that need to be made here. And Lord, as you speak to our hearts, may we listen attentive and then through obedience follow. Guide and direct my words, for it's the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. You know, the birth of Jesus was more than just a local event. However, without God's angelic and spiritual revelations, few would have known of it other than his immediate family. Few, if any, in Judah were even expecting Jesus to be born. In fact, if you read in Luke chapter 2, we read of an old man, Simeon, and an old woman, Anna, who daily went to the temple expecting to see the Messiah before their deaths. But few others seem to have really had any ideas about it. Knowledge of prophetic timelines seemed to be dimming, if you will, for a lot of the people at that time. In fact, I would contend today many of the prophetic statements about the Lord's return have in many ways dimmed as well. Many had discounted the prophecy of Daniel. In fact, if you were to go back and read in the book of Daniel, especially in Daniel 9:25, it starts to lay out a timeline of when the Messiah would be coming. In fact, verse 25 says, "Now know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince shall be 7 weeks." And we know that by the calculations, if you will, one day is a year. So 7 weeks, if you will, would be what? 49 years. And 62 weeks, 60 would be 62. It says the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. So when you add those numbers up, the 7, the 62, you get 69 weeks. until Jesus would come on the scene. And so that was the prophecy that was given. We know that by Daniel's prophetic statement, there were 70 weeks. 1 week is still yet to come. And we know that that's during the time of tribulation, whenever that occurs. But I see that on the horizon pretty soon. So God revealed to these wise men and began leading them to His Son by this mysterious star. Now we don't know if this was what kind of a star this was. We don't know if it was an angel of the Lord. We don't know what it was. We know that in the Old Testament, that when the Lord was ready to lead the people in the wilderness, they had fire by night, they had a cloud by day. So we just don't know what it was, but it's called here in Scripture a star. And it says that it was His star. One thing Brother John brought up in his devotional this morning, I want to interject it as well. God sent the star so that the men could find God. So God sent it. One of the most important verses I think that you'll find there in the book of Luke is Luke 19 and 10, where it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." That to me is a pivotal statement in the book of Luke. So now let's talk about these wise men. Again, in our reading here, verse 1. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." So, these wise men, again, another term, magi. Alright? They were Gentiles. Now, where exactly during the exact time period that they came, is that probably within 2 years of Jesus being born. But they were people that probably would have had the opportunity to read of the prophecy and things that were given back during the Babylonian, Medo and Persians, the Chaldeans. When we look at them, is that what Daniel stated? And we know that the words that Daniel had have stated, they would have been in Chaldean. It would have been recorded. There would have been those records that would have been placed forth. Daniel was one that had advised kings, so he would have been considered a wise man. And wise men during that time period of Daniel and the others is that they performed religious services, they chanted sacred hymns, and they were to direct the religion. Now this star, again, the star may very well have been something that Daniel had talked about, or Daniel had written about, which was recorded back in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. It says, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. So, there shall come a star out of Jacob. There shall come a star that will come forth. And so when you look at the Magi, they had calculated the prophecy of Daniel. Now, isn't it interesting? Here we have is these Gentiles. I'm sure that many of them, these wise men, had been astrologers. And so they had looked at times, they looked at seasons, they looked at these things, but they sat down and did calculations as to about the time period. I mean, Daniel told them from the beginning of the building of the walls, which happened when Nehemiah was there, from the building of the walls till when the Messiah comes, and then there was the rebuilding of the temple, is that there was a time period. So they had an opportunity to do some calculations to figure out about the time that it was proclaimed that Jesus would come. But how many Jews actually were looking? How many Jews, especially the ones, the leadership that had all the opportunity to think about this, to contemplate this, of all the opportunity, how many of the religious scribes, Pharisees, all of these folks had opportunity to consider, the priest had opportunity to consider, that even he was coming in that near time frame. So they had, these magi, they had calculated that a prominent king or a messiah to be born near the end of Herod's reign. This was when we look at this time period that they had looked at, the star appeared at an exact time. And many believe, again, that the Jews, during their dispersion from Jerusalem, during the time period of Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, Darius, especially from the displacement under Alexander the Great. Now, think about Alexander the Great. You know, God does not do things at happenstance. God's Word is always brought forward. God's Word says, my Word will not go out of existence. My Word will always be available. Everything you need to know about God today, you'll find it in God's Word. But we've got to get into it. We've got to read it. The Spirit of God will guide us into all understanding. Now, if you recall about Alexander the Great, when he had charge, he had ordered the translation of the Old Testament from Hebrew into Greek. When it was at the Greek, it was called the Septuagint. And that was at Alexandria, Egypt. And in fact, it influenced the people of Arabia, including the Medo-Persian people. So the Word of God had been translated, and as a result, it influenced other people because they could do what? Read it in their own language. Also, it's ironic in some ways that Abraham was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees to a land of liberty in Canaan. Yet the Lord placed his people, the Jews, back in the land under bondage because of their idolatrous ways. And then from this land, wise men, Gentiles, are led to Jesus. When you look at the big picture of things, the Jews, who are God's chosen people, had a responsibility and they had opportunity to share God with the rest of the world. But they wouldn't do it. So what did God do? He put his people under Gentile control. They learned about God. I'm not saying that how many actually came to know God and believed in God is the faith of Abraham. But apparently it had some impact on some people. And now you have these Gentiles, these wise men, these magi, that are able to look at the writings and look at things that were going on and then to look and say, you know, it's about time for this king to be born, this Messiah. If you look at Jerusalem at this time period, Herod the Great, he was also called Terrible. And he was called Herod the Terrible because he was a cruel ruler. He was paranoid about his position as king. In fact, he murdered his own wife, his own sons, and many others because of his paranoia that someone was trying to take over. Someone was trying to get his throne. And sin ruled that known world at that time. Also, where they saw, as we were reading in verse 1, this direction from the east. You know, a marvel that the star led these people to Judah and Jerusalem. But it's a natural place for the Lord to send someone. Because why? Jerusalem was the seat of worship for the Jews. It was where the temple was. But it was also where Herod was ruling from. Now these wise men, and I'll talk about this a little bit further on, but these wise men, it was not three. Though we sing the song, we three kings of Orient are. That was not three. There were more than three. They brought three gifts, three distinct gifts, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But there was more than three. And I'll explain why as we continue. So again in our text, as we're reading, it says in verse 2 again, it says saying, where is he? So these magi came to Herod. They're inquiring, where is that he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. His troubling came from the fact is that there is another king in the area. And if this other king, I don't know who he is, but if this other king rises up, I may lose my position. If he overthrows and he takes charge and he takes control. And remember, as I stated earlier, is that Herod the Great is a very cruel king. He's a very cruel ruler. Paranoid about the position of king as he is. So these men, they come and they're inquiring and asking, where is this one that has been born, that is called the king of the Jews? It troubled Herod deeply. And notice who he turned to in verse 4. He turned that He turned to, one other thing I might mention. These men that are outside asking this question, these men that have come, these wise men from afar, they're asking this question. These were not Jews standing out there. These were Gentiles. And I have to believe that this entourage that is out there asking this question, this entourage that's out there, it got Herod's attention. It got Herod's attention. Why would this entourage just show up and ask, where is the king of the Jews? Because you see, the only king living at that time would have been Caesar. The only one that was during that time period, and we have Herod there, he's a king, but we look at that, you know, just that hierarchy. What do you mean there's another king? I'm the one that's taking care of these Jews. I'm in charge. He was troubled. And notice what he did. He gathered in verse 4, he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, and he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And so what was his, what did he do? He turned to the people that should have known, King of the Jews, where would he be born? Now, you know, one of the things I have to wonder, and I'm trying to look at this in a big picture. Did they readily, and I believe they probably were able to readily say, without scratching their heads, without having to say, you know what? Let us go back and consult the prophets. I believe that they had working knowledge. They had an understanding, and I'm going to make a point with this here in just a moment. They had all the knowledge. They had all the information they would need as to where this king would be born. And yet, none of them had been looking for him. But they were able to state unequivocally, they were here quoting Scripture. It says, and when they said unto him, there in verse 5, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. They were able to readily state that, but how many of them had sought after the king? How many of them had even considered it was the time period that the king would have been born? How many of them had considered? Now, I think about here something else. You know, isn't it something that the Lord has revealed Himself? The Lord has revealed Himself to unusual characters. Now, let me explain what I mean by unusual characters. You would maybe have thought that the Lord would have revealed Himself to the priest. Weren't they the religious leaders? To the scribes, weren't they the lawyers of the law? To the Pharisees, weren't they the sect of the religious leaders from which oftentimes you would find one of the priests taken from that sect? Or from the Sadducees, of where you at times would see priests taken from that sect? Wouldn't you have considered that God would have chosen those people to let them know, so that they could do what? Tell the other people, the other Jews, that the Messiah has been born. But He did not choose these that were the leadership, supposed to be spiritual leadership, that the Messiah had been born. He chose, I will call, unusual people. And in fact, when Jesus was born there in Bethlehem, if you hold your finger there and turn over to Luke chapter 2 for just a moment. In Luke chapter 2, and you drop down to verse 8, it says this, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, one of the things I ask you this question. Jesus was born. It was announced by unusual people because they were privileged to see this child. Why didn't the priest inquire more about this child that they're talking about? Here these wise men come. Now notice it's Herod. It's Herod asking these religious leaders, where is this child to be born? And they were ready to quote, in Bethlehem. I want to tell you, my friend, knowing Scripture will not save you. You can memorize Scripture all day long. It will not save you. You can quote Scripture all day long. And there's a lot of non-believers that know more about the Bible Scripture than you and I might even know because they've just read it. And what I mean by that, have memory of what they've read. Not that they know what it says, they just have memory of what they read. And boy, they'll pull out the choice statements. Well, I thought you were a Christian. Doesn't the Bible say this? Doesn't the Bible say that? But they don't know the God of the Bible. Just because you know Scripture does not tell you anything about an individual because, again, it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's with the heart. Just knowing Scripture is not going to save you. Trusting in the one who gave the Scripture will save every one of you, as well as me. You see, these wise men, they come. So we had those angels. No one believed them. I'm sorry, not the angels, the shepherds. No one believed them. No one inquired of them, especially about the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the priests. No one inquired anything of it. I'm sure they brushed it off. What do you mean you found a babe lying in a manger? And that's the child of God? Really? Really? Don't trust it. Bad info. Today will be called fake news. Alright? So here we have these magi. These magi have seen this star. They've come and, you know, it possibly has taken them nearly 2 years to get there. Because after they got all their facts together and they started on this journey then to get to where they were. This star appears to them, and this star is drawing them to where the Messiah is, where Jesus is. Now, one of the things also I want to mention about Jesus being born in Bethlehem. Jesus would have been in Bethlehem with his mother and with his father for at least 40 days. Now, the reason I bring this up is this. Under the law, in fact, if you were to go back and read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 12, there were laws with regards to how long a woman had to wait before she could come to temple. So when a woman gave birth to a man child, she had to wait 7 days before the child would be circumcised and would be given a name. If it was a female child, she had to wait 2 weeks. This was called a part of the time of that purification, right? So she could not touch an unclean thing, she could not touch anything, she was to stay basically confined. In the case for a male child, 7 days. That's why it says on the 8th day, Jesus was circumcised. That's when they brought him to the temple. They brought him to the temple, and on the 8th day, and that's where Simeon, that's where Anna saw Jesus. By the law, she couldn't have come any sooner. Then, the time of purification would continue. And the time of purification would then have been about another 3 weeks or so, 3.5 weeks. And then she was to come by the law. She was to come and she was to offer, in fact, the Scripture says that she was to offer a sacrifice according to that which is in the law of the Lord, and this is found in Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 22, a pair of turtle doves are two young pigeons. And so they were in that region for 40 days, and no one asked. Not even when Simeon and Anna had made the statement, "This is the one we've been waiting on. God has shown us this." No one inquired. And then it says in Luke 2 and 39, "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth." They had come out of Nazareth to come because of why? Caesar Augustus had said that there was to be a taxing, a census taken, a taxing. And so what do we have? We have that Joseph and Mary had traveled to Bethlehem because they were of the city of David. And that's where they went for census, and that's where they went for taxing that they had to provide for. 40 days they had been there, and then they left. No one, no religious leader ever inquired to see this child. No one asked the question, is that child truly here? Is he really the Messiah? He was just rejected completely, even at birth. So notice here back in our text here in Matthew chapter 2, it says here, "Then Herod," verse 7, "when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem." Now notice, at this time period, the star is gone. The star is not shining. They went to where they knew that they had enough knowledge. These wise men had enough knowledge to figure that this king of the Jews would be where? Where the worship of the Jews was. In Jerusalem. That's where the temple. So why wouldn't they go? And that's where Herod was ruling from. Why wouldn't they go? They saw the star. They were led to that area. Why wouldn't they go to where they believed the worship was taking place? I am sure it had been recorded that, now go back to the wise men writing down things. Daniel had been praying that God would let the people return. We know that Nehemiah was one that returned to restart the rebuilding of things back in Jerusalem. I'm sure that that had been recorded of what Darius had allowed him to do, the people to do, how they had gone. I'm sure that when you read there that Daniel had cried out loud, "Why are not more people returning to Jerusalem? They had this opportunity to go back." And how that the decree of the of Cyrus and of Darius is that anything you need for rebuilding, it will be supplied to you. I'm sure all of that was written down, so these wise men from this region, these magi, would have had written information about Jerusalem was the place of worship, and another temple had been rebuilt. The walls had been rebuilt around it. The gates had been rebuilt and put back on the gates of the walls. So they had, I'm sure, had learned all of this from what had been written and what had been recorded. You know, one of the things that's missing in our own society is that how many, especially school kids today, know about history? I'll tell you, there's been such a rewrite of history in our country, it's pathetic. But if you go back and you look about the pilgrims that came here to this country, why they came, what was the reason that they were willing to forfeit life, treasure, everything to come here to so that they would be allowed to worship God from what their own direction was on their worship. This kind of stuff is the truth about why has been basically erased from so many history books today. And what are we left with? A bunch of white men from over in Europe wanted to come over here and take over this land, and they were just setting up this land for themselves. That is not what happened, my friends. That is not what happened. And when you read about the history, why are we not willing to go back and read about the history? Why are we not willing to go back and see why it's stated that this country that we live in, America, is the greatest country on the face of the earth? Why are we not willing to even make that statement anymore? Because we're afraid that we're going to put somebody down in another country. Why is it that there's been some 150 million people are trying to get in this country? Because they see from outside the possibility of what you have by becoming a United States citizen, being able to live in this country, the freedoms that we have. And yet, the people of this country have lost sight of what God laid a foundation for in this country. You see, the Magi were willing to look at the historical documents. They were willing to look at the prophecy. Now, there's no evidence that these men were looking for God. These men were looking for the evidence of what had been recorded, what had been seen. They were looking for the evidence of this king that had been born. And so when they came to Jerusalem, they came to Herod, they got a private audience with Herod. Now I want to go back to this point about the three wise men. I will tell you right now, Herod would not have entertained three men at his door. You would have never gotten past the guard. What are you guys out here for? But think about what they brought. They brought gold. They brought frankincense. They brought myrrh. These three men, and there were thieves. There were cutthroats. There were other kinds of people. We don't know how much they brought, but I will tell you this, is that the three of them would have had an entourage to guard. I have to believe that what they showed up with, I'm looking at there was at minimally 20 people, plus maybe up to 100, that were in this entourage. If it was only three, they'd have never gotten a time of day from Herod. What they saw, I have to believe that these men saw, is that they said, we came from afar. These men, I believe, were fully dressed as someone representing their country, someone that came with all of the clothing, the animals, the entourage. Now I believe that Herod looked out his window and he saw all of these that were out there. He looked down and it caught his attention. Invite them in. These men say they came to seek the King of the Jews. Invite them in. These ambassadors, these whoever they were, these wise men, these magi, came. And I believe that the way that they came, it was such that it was a diplomat, looked like diplomatic people coming here, and I want to bring them in. Don't know who they are, but I don't want trouble with them. He brought them in. And notice what he did. Because verse 7 says, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now, I believe that they had seen it some 2 years ago. I don't know how long their journey for sure was. And the reason that I believe it was 2 years is that I'll show you in Scripture here why I believe it was around a 2-year window. But they had seen the star. They were drawn to come. They put together this entourage. They came. And it says in verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Now notice here is that they were given an erroneous direction. They were given him, it would have been like, you're looking at GPS today, when he went to Bethlehem, recalculating, because I'll tell you right now, that is not the destination you need to go to. Also note here is what did not appear when they were sent to Bethlehem. The star. The star was turned off because Bethlehem is not where they would find Jesus. As I read from Luke chapter 2, is that they had already left after the 40 days, they had already left and gone home to Nazareth. That's where he was. Again, if the scribes and the Pharisees had searched the Scripture, they would have seen that he was going to be called out of Nazareth. But they didn't. All they knew was where he was going to be born. That's all they recollected. That's all they said. This is where the king was going to be born. They didn't give it a time of day to look any further than that. So Herod sent them to diligently search in Bethlehem. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And verse 9 says, and when they heard the king, they departed. But notice what happened when they departed. I believe they went to Bethlehem. He wasn't there. But now the star comes back on. It's lit again. And it says, lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, one of the things to note here is that, like I said, Bethlehem would have been a detour. Bethlehem would have found nothing because he's not there. Bethlehem was not the place to go. But that's what they were told. Go here to Bethlehem. Go here and look. The scribes, the chief priests, the scribes, they said, here's where he's supposed to be born. And you would maybe draw a conclusion. Well, if he was born there, maybe that's where he's at. Right? I mean, that's a conclusion that any one of us might have made. But again, because the priests, the scribes, none of them had been searching diligently for the Savior. None of them who had been looking. All they knew was the Scripture of where he's going to be born. They weren't looking beyond. And the thing is that were they in their own hearts and minds saying the Scriptures also said he's going to be born of a virgin? Because you see, while Jesus was here, the priest, the Pharisees, the scribes, what were they always looking at? The Sadducees. How could this man, Jesus, truly be the Son of God when his mother is Mary and his father is Joseph? How in the world can he be truly the Son of God? And then they challenged him time and time again, by what authority do you heal people? By what authority? By what authority do you have to cast out demons? By what authority? Of course, he turned that right around on them, didn't he? By what authority do you have to cast out demons? By what authority? They got so angry with Jesus because he stated the Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath. And if somebody needed healing on the Sabbath day, they got healed. I'll tell you right now, the Lord loves to heal on His day. This is the Lord's day. He loves to heal on the Lord's day. He loves to heal the heart. He loves to heal those that have cried out, I need to be saved. I'm not a child of God. I need to be saved. The Lord will just love to save you today if you've never trusted in Jesus. He loves healing on the day of worship. When we come together as one, He'll heal you any other day, but He loves to heal on His day so we can magnify and glorify His name together. But not these scribes, not these priests. They were so steeped in the law. They hadn't sought out this virgin-born child. They hadn't sought out, was he really living in Bethlehem? You know, I wonder this. If they truly believed that the Messiah, the King of the Jews, was in Bethlehem, why weren't they the ones running in front of the Magi? Why weren't they the ones saying, you know what, we're going to go with you. Come along with us. We'll look for him as well. We'll see if we can find him. There is no evidence in Scripture that any of them lifted a hand, lifted a foot, brought forth anything, any mode of transportation to go to Bethlehem. They didn't spend one iota of time to find where Jesus was born. None of it. Didn't ask any questions. All they were was ones to say, the Scripture says he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And so there he went. There they went. Didn't find him, but lo, the star shows again. till it come and stood over where the young child was. You know why people look at the whole idea of the wise men coming to Jerusalem or to Bethlehem where the child was born? Is because they draw a conclusion from verse 9. They have not studied the companion passages of Scripture. They have not studied the prophecy. And as a result, when it says here, verse 9, and when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. They draw the conclusion that Jesus was there in Bethlehem and that he was the babe in Bethlehem and still in the manger. That's how they draw the conclusion. But the Scripture says, when you read the companion Scripture, as I quoted and read out of earlier in the book of Luke, is that after they had accomplished everything that was required under the law, which would have put them at least 40 days, and they were done, they left and went back to Nazareth. That was where they were from. But who looks at the Scripture? Who looks at, even today, how many people look and believe that, how many people today look and say that Jesus was there in the manger and the three kings came to the manger? That's all they've ever been taught. That's not what the Scripture says. He was in Nazareth, where he was born. Where he lived, rather. And verse 10 says, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceeding great joy. Because why? The star had turned off. It brought them to Jerusalem. That's not where he was. He was not in Bethlehem. But it says, after they are looking again, they see the star, they rejoice because the star has reappeared. And now it's moving to the exact place of where Jesus truly is. They rejoiced. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. And notice what it says they did. They fell down and worshipped him, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts that were fit for a king, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, when they came in, it didn't say that they came in and they believed in him as their Savior. It says they came and worshipped him. They gave him reverence that this was a king, this young child. One of the things when you read in Scripture, sometimes you got to go back and you got to look in the Greek words. When it says this young child, this is no longer a baby. So the word that's used in reference for a young child in the Greek here is no longer that which had been used for baby. Young child means that this child is already maturing. This child is probably walking. This child is maybe starting to talk. You know, we've got some 2-year-olds that are so that are running around here. You know what they're able to do right now? They can walk on their own, they can talk, and they can feed themselves somewhat. This is the type of child, or the age of that child, that it would have been at this time period. And these gifts that were given, they were giving unto this child, gold, it's a monetary gift appropriate for a king. So it honored Jesus as king of the Jews. Frankincense. Frankincense was a sweet-smelling perfume for a holy place. And it was used as on offerings. And you know, it's one of the things that as we approach Christ, we are to approach Him with the perfume of a pure service. So the frankincense honored Jesus as God. And then we have the myrrh. The myrrh that was given to them is that the myrrh was something that was an anointing oil. It was used in perfume, but it was also used in embalming bodies. So this myrrh represented honoring Jesus as Savior, but it was also something that was given to, that was related to His death. So in these three gifts, they were purposeful in what they were given and the reason they were given and again the why they were given. The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. And if you go and study about those, you'll find how these different gifts, you know, how they were used, especially even during that time period. A bombing was something they did during that time period, and myrrh was something that was used quite often in the embalming, time, or, you know, for that process, if you will. They presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. But notice also then what happened. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way. Now, I mentioned to you about that 2-year window, the significance of that 2 years. Well, let's just read a little bit further. It says, "And when they were departed, verse 13, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And there was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, it was spoken of by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called thee my son." Now look at verse 16. So what did the Lord tell Joseph? Get out of here. Get out of Nazareth. Get out to Egypt. Again, which is prophecy that was spoken in the Old Testament. But it says here in verse 16, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem." Because why? Well, that's the area where the priest told him where they were to be, right? That's where they were sent initially. So all the children that were 2 years old and younger, they were killed by Herod. Remember I said, he is a paranoia. He is such that he's so beside himself. So verse 16 says, "And slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof." So this spread outside of Bethlehem as well, because he wanted to have an opportunity to get rid of this king of the Jews. Because you see, he was responsible for the Jews in his region. And he didn't want anything to be stated that these children were rising up. I mean, these Jews were rising up and they were going to overthrow his government. All these children in all the coast, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they were not." Now let me ask you this question here in bringing this to a thought of conclusion. All this was that going on with all of these children that were being killed. Where the priest? Where were the scribes? Where were the Pharisees, the Sadducees? Because you see, if it was stated here that this fulfilled, as Matthew is writing here, this event fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah, where were all the religious people? Where were they? Why were they not warning everyone that apparently the Messiah is here? Why were they not saying, we need to go to Egypt to see where he's at? Why did they not come in? You know, one of my responsibilities as a pastor is to study the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you, one of your responsibility as a layperson is to study the Word of God. You know why we need to study the Word of God? So that we can look at the times. So that we can look at prophecy. You know why we know that the day of the Lord, His second coming, is coming soon? Because we have been studying Scripture. We have seen from Old Testament prophecy. We have seen from New Testament that Jesus is coming again. We know that many and most of the prophecies that have been given to us in Scripture, most of the prophecies tell us that the tribulation is nigh. It says, the Scripture says, "And when you see a great falling away, know that my time is coming." I will tell you, if you look at Scripture in our society, time is on the precipice that Jesus is coming again. We know that the Antichrist He is working and working and working. If you see some of the things that's been happening, if you see what's been happening to the Jewish nation, if you look at the nations that surround Israel, you will know and look on there is that there are maps that have been drawn by these other countries that Israel is not on the map at all. They are looked at being annihilated. They're wrong, but they've looked at being annihilated. They have redrawn the map. And when you study history and you understand about the things that happened during the Ottoman Empire, if you spend the time of seeing these types of things and knowing that they are looking at getting rid of Israel, Israel to them is their, we're the big Satan and they're the little Satan. That's the way that many of the Arabs, these folks look at us and look at them. You see, when we take a look at all of this and understand how the government wants to be God, how the government wants to be Father, how the government wants you to rely on everything today in our country upon the government. As I will tell you, is that we're turning to the wrong group. We're turning to the wrong person if we're not turning to Jesus. My friends, Jesus is coming again. If He came the first time and He says, I lie not, my word changes not, then you can rely on the fact that Jesus is coming again. When is He coming, Pastor? You've been preaching that for how many years? He's coming. When He's ready. When He's ready. The Lord tells us that we're to be watching, waiting, looking, longing for His return. And if we are watching, waiting, looking, longing for His return, we as children of God will be doing that which is right. It's when we take our eyes off of God and place it on other things, the worldly things, that we'll just be looking like the world. Watch, for the Lord's day is quickly approaching. But you know, that's a warning if you're not a child of God. That's also a warning to you, as it is to we who are saved. If you're not a child of God, the warning is this. You're not ready for His return. You do not want to go through the tribulation. Oh, Pastor, it's been pretty hard in my life. I've lost my job. I've lost some loved ones. I've had all these kinds of things happen to me. I'll tell you right now, that's a walk in the park to what is going to happen to you when you go into the tribulation. The Lord tells us, first of all, that those who enter into the tribulation, the majority, if will basically be, those that will be saved will be Jews. There may be some Gentiles. But then it says that what's going to happen is because of the delusion of Satan, because of the delusion of the Antichrist, it is going to be very difficult for an individual to be saved. Not impossible, but very difficult. In fact, it says that even the elect, even those that are truly saved, walking with God, is that they would have a hard time during the tribulation of not embracing the Antichrist as Christ Himself. Because of the delusion. My friends, if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, do it today. Today is a day of salvation. And you see, if you trust in Jesus today, you won't have to worry about the tribulation. You won't have to worry about that, about what's going on. Even if, because here's the thing is, you will have such a peace, you will have such a rest, because you know that your home is in heaven. If somebody killed you today, I'm going to be with the Lord. I don't say that casually. I don't say that in a flippant statement. I say that, though, with confidence. I say that with knowing that my Lord is true. I say that with knowing what my God says, that He says that if you trust in my Son Jesus as Savior, you are eternally secure. You are eternally saved. And when I leave this body, and however I leave this body, I am going to be present with the Lord because I know who my Redeemer is. I am persuaded that He is able to keep me for all of eternity. Do you have that assurance this morning? You can if you trust in Jesus. If you are a child of God, I'll ask you, do you have that confidence that the Lord will keep you saved? Because He said He will. I don't care what this world does. I don't care where it goes. The Lord will keep you safe. Trust in Him with your life. Maybe you need to trust in Jesus. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. I'm going to ask you to stand. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, you know you need Jesus. Trust in Him today. If there's other things that the Lord is speaking to your heart about, follow Jesus and do what He calls you to. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study this morning, Lord, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You for the confidence we have in Your Word. But Lord, I praise You that You sent these wise men to find Your Son, Jesus. And they gave Him the gifts befitting a king. The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. But Lord, what do You ask of us today? You said, be the living sacrifice. Give our hearts, our lives, our very being unto You. That which is befitting the King that You are. Lord, You know the needs of every heart that's here. As You have spoken to us, may we now respond. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.